The following podcast will contain spoilers, tangents, hot takes, and excessive foul language. Viewer discretion is advised. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 244 of Frightmares. I'm your host, Austin Proctor, and joining me today for 2005's glorious movie Doom is Corey Johnson.
Heyo.
Oh boy. This was your recommendation, right? just so it goes on the record.
So, and for the record, I love this movie.
See, and I had a lot of likes, honestly. A lot more likes than I did dislikes. But then that third act happened, and I was like, what were you guys thinking? What were you guys doing? I was really enjoying it up until the third act, and I was like, ah, these are some choices that y'all made.
Yeah, it's a very choosy movie, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But man, if the thing about it is it's a movie that was made to be on DVD in somebody's collection so that when their kids are having a sleepover, they have a cool action movie.
That's a perfect explanation. Yeah, someone wants to, a kid wants to show off a fun movie, this would be the one. Because, yeah, when I was younger, I didn't give a shit about plot. I didn't give a shit about half the stuff I do now. I just wanted to see big monsters and guns. And that's what this movie has to offer.
In spades.
Big, yeah, in space. On
no,
Mars.
In spades.
Oh, in space.
It has those things in spades and in space.
And in space. And this is actually a perfect segue from January Carpenter to Creature Feature February, because this takes place on Mars. The last episode we did was Ghosts of Mars. So this is a perfect segue, because there is a bit of this, well, most of this takes place on Mars. It takes place...
Although you could never fucking tell.
No.
Because this movie is always except the movie.
It's almost like back rooms, but not as like, office-y. It's more industrial and gothic. But there was one time you did see like the sandy hills of Mars is when he was Carl Urban was looking through that window.
Yeah.
That was it. Other than that, yeah, this was not on Mars. This was on Earth somewhere. It's
which
bullshit.
So speaking of Carl Urban, was he also in Chronicles of Riddick as the one prince?
He was in Riddick. I don't know if he was in Chronicles of Riddick. I know he was in Riddick for sure, but
is that not the same movie?
No, Riddick was like the one they did years later with Vin Diesel.
Oh.
Yeah, because you have Chronicles and then you have Deep pitch black. Pitch black.
Yeah.
Perfect black. Dark zero, whatever.
No, pitch black.
Pitch black. Yeah. But I know he was in Riddick for sure. It's funny because he doesn't have a lot of credits, but he's just been in so much. Like so much good.
Oh yeah.
So much good. Carl Urban is like the unsung hero of
cinematic. And it's so funny because if you compare him to especially this versus his work in The Boys, it's like, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where did you go to sharpen this up? Because, like, you need to recommend it to everyone.
Yeah,
because
it's not like, I didn't think he was necessarily bad in this movie, but he's...
Yes, he is in Chronicles as
okay,
well.
So he is in that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also in Dread as Dread. He's fucking awesome in that movie. So, yeah, Doom.
I prefer my Stallone Dread.
Okay, yeah, Spencer is a fan of that one as well. Yeah, so this is Creature Feature February. You recommended this one. I remember being like, is Doom a creature? I mean, I know the game has a lot of creatures in it, but I looked it up and it was, yeah, it's labeled as like monster horror on IMDb. I was like, good enough. And you do get a bunch of crazy creatures. Not as much as I wanted, though. I did want a little bit more. But the ones we did get were practical, so that was pretty solid.
I think at some point in development, they ran into like some issues of whether or not they could make it actually what the game was, which is like a portal to hell on Mars and shit.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they give you that one throwaway line where Reaper's going, "This is hell and it always has been." It's like, all right, there you go.
All right, thanks. There's our connection. that and the first person shooter like montage. Yeah. Like, oh, you did
which,
it.
Which I remember vividly as like a however old I was in 2005, that being so lit and watching it last night, I was like,
oh, like, ooh. Oh,
this did not age well at all.
It really did not. So yeah, movie is definitely, I have a lot of notes, so a lot of things to say, good and bad. Like I said, I have a lot of likes. So yeah, I know you've been watching some shit though. You and Jessica, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have been watching some shit. So what did you show her yesterday? It was The Tunnel, and then what did you do after The Tunnel?
We ended up doing The Host, actually.
The Host?
Bong Joon-ho.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she, that one. She, the first time that you get to see the creature when it's like running down the fucking like spillway.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, that is actually decidedly terrifying. And I was like, yes.
And it still holds up for being super like 2011 or something like that.
Oh yeah. Now I will say after my however many rewatches of it now, it does run a teensy bit long.
Yeah.
Like
it's like 2 hours.
Yeah, like shave off like 15 minutes and I'd be good.
That's like my only complaint sometimes with Korean horror. It's like, it's just too long. Sometimes I'm like, man, just chop it down. Just a little bit. Just a tiny bit.
But yeah, so the tunnel was lit. Loved that.
Yep, tunnel, yeah.
Had a lot of fun with that. We have also been doing the new season of True Detective. We've watched both episodes like 3 times because it's coming out on a weekly basis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it comes out on Sundays at 9 p.m.
Good God.
Eastern time,
yeah,
anyway.
I'm thinking of bed around that time. Jeez. That's such a weird time to do that. Why not do that like Sunday? No, thank you.
So I know.
You can just watch it on Mondays, probably.
No, we watch it like when it drops.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, oh, it's so good, too.
Max, right?
Yeah, Max.
Yeah.
And it does tangential. Well, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to spoil it. So never mind.
Well, one of my tattoo artists yesterday said that it does kind of correlate to the first one with a character or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like
okay.
That.
Fair. Yeah. It does definitely like in 2 or more instances connect to season 1.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that they went from 1 to 4, but I mean, I know 1 is like the best. I gotta start it still.
But so there is like a very throwaway little bit of dialogue with Rust in season 1 where he says, oh yeah, I grew up in Alaska, and then after the time skip it's said that he went back to Alaska.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I need to watch that. It's only got 4 seasons, and I know there is only like 12 episodes.
And
I think,
so
maybe.
And so here's the thing. So you've got season 1, and then that's the only one that matters. Because season 2 and 3 are completely different stories, and they're both dog shit. In my opinion.
That's a shame.
And that is a pretty well accepted take as well.
Yeah, tattoo artist also said, yeah, he's like 2 and 3, they were something. Like,
yeah.
They exist. And I was like, oh, that's a shame.
I mean, like, I'm not a huge Colin Farrell fan to begin with, and he's like the main
of
season
2. I love him, so that maybe I'll like season 2. I don't know. We'll have to see.
And then season 3 is Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
And I'm not a fan of Vince Vaughn, but
he's
also,
whatever. Yeah, he's
yeah.
I'm not going to see a movie because I'm like, oh my God, Vince Vaughn's in
no.
it. He's just there, and I'm like, all right, whatever. I mean, although I do love him in Dodgeball, but that movie is just gold. So it's not really him. I'm there for it.
My hot take of that movie is I'm sick of it.
Really?
I'm so sick.
Oh no! Why?
Bro, it's like, do you not remember a time when we all still had like cable or satellite TV?
Yeah.
And for, I don't know, 3 to 5 days out of the week, 2 to 4 times a day, at least two channels on regular cable were playing dodgeball. It got to the point where in high school, that was the movie they put on for us when it was like a slack off day. Like, I'm so sick of that movie. It's good.
Right. Yeah, just done.
But like, there's so many other comedies out there that are so much better.
Okay. I can agree with that. No, I agree with that. There's movies I'm kind of sick of like that. It's just funny that it's dodgeball for you because of what you said. That's fucking great. Anything else you've seen recently? It's been good. Doesn't have to necessarily be horror.
I mean, I have been. We went through Blackwell Ghost again.
Oh, and you saw the tag on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, let's go.
I tagged you. I tagged my girlfriend. She called her mom. And her mom. And her mom called us and said, he can't do this shit to me. I'm not over how 7 ended.
I love this. I live for this storyline.
It's just becoming a cult now.
I love it.
It's
yeah.
so good.
Blackwell Ghost 8 should be coming soon. And it's he doesn't ever announce it. He just fucking dropped. I'm surprised he even said it's on the way, because usually he just drops it.
Well, and so like, didn't 7 come out like first or second of April or some shit?
No, he didn't drop a movie last year. 7 was 2022.
Oh.
He didn't drop a movie. Yeah, I know.
Well,
he did
not
drop a movie
last
year.
But when he dropped 7, he just dropped it like in the middle of April or
some
shit.
Oh, yeah. He just like,
so
here you go. And I'm like,
I think
he
might be trying to do that kind of again.
That would be great. Yeah, I was like almost, I was almost in tears when I was like, oh my God, we didn't get a fucking Blackwell Ghost. He dropped 2 in 2020 and then 2 in 2022. Oh, okay. That tracks though. Never mind. That totally tracks. Yeah, 18, 19, 20. 22, so then 24. I'm like, how many more is he going to make? Because they just keep getting better and better. And I'm like, bro, I've never seen movies just progressively get better and more like...
I don't know. Maybe we'll end up getting like a Turner Clay International Man of ghost hunting and serial killer finding.
I need him when he's done with the movies. I need him just release a box set of these. Like, I have to own them. I want to have them in my house.
With like all the copies of like the fucking maps.
Yeah,
and
dude,
like
that'd
shit.
Be so cool. Turner Clay, you have to do this.
Make the box set the fucking safe where he pulls the teeth out of.
Put some teeth in there just for, you know, just because.
I want real teeth,
The teeth you pulled out, I want like two. So we've been really on like the true crime shit, and we watched something called American Nightmare on Netflix. Fucking insane. Definitely recommend that. And then we had to watch Gone Girl because it's like almost like the plot of Gone Girl. And my review for that was fuck that ending because I hated that ending.
it is a divisive ending.
It's a middle finger to the audience. I mean, I don't know. It's got like a fucking, what does it have? Like a 4.2 or some shit. I think I'm getting to the realization that I'm just not huge on David Fincher. All of his movies for me, all of his movies have a 3.5.
I thought you were about to say, I'm just not a fan of Ben Affleck.
No. I love Ben Affleck. He's great. And even Rosamund Pike, who is in our movie, funny enough, she was great. Neil Patrick Harris was great. Tyler Perry was great. I just fuck that ending. Most of his endings, I'm like, fuck these endings. Like, what are these endings? But I don't know, whatever. Then I saw that ISS movie, which was just fun. It wasn't anything.
ISS movie.
It's the movie that takes place in space, and there's like a world war going on, and it's the Russians and the and Americans in space, and once the nuclear war goes on, they're like, take the ISS at all costs. It's pretty cool.
Oh.
It's decent.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, they did not do a good job marketing that movie at all. And then after we watched Doom, we watched Gamer, which, just like Doom, it's not aged well.
Well, and also Michael C. Hall with that country ass accent is just fucking off.
I forgot he had that. And I was like, oh, that's why this movie's weird. But I'm like, I love you as an actor, but this is not it, man.
Also,
this is not the movie.
Also, Gerard Butler was just like, it was a weird role.
It was a weird role and just a very weird movie. Cool concept, executed poorly.
Yeah.
Very poorly. So.
Like, that's one of the cartoon ideas that needs to stay in animation.
Yeah.
Not a... Because
they could have done way more with it.
Yeah.
And, it would have been probably a lot better. So that's what we've been watching. If you have nothing else to say, let's move on to the IMDb Roundup. Have we seen this? No, I have not prior to this viewing. You had... Have you been watching this since, like, it came out?
Yeah. Like, okay. Like I am almost positive that with my own money at some point, like, as soon as the DVD came out, I bought it.
This is mine.
Yeah. And so I was actually a huge fan of The Rock as, like, an early 2000s. Like, Walking Tall, what's the Rundown.
Yeah.
Those movies were fucking lit for a dirty little redneck child that I was.
Yeah, and you know, obviously he was a wrestler, of course, for many years, and I think is he still doing that, or has he just moved on to movies? Because even John Cena said he's retiring soon, and I'm like, yes, because you have a prolific, movie career.
He might be. I don't know. I know he was doing something recently-ish, but I don't know.
Is he in that movie Fighting with My Family? Is he in that one?
The Rock, yes.
Yeah, that one.
He is in that one. I still haven't seen that.
That one is actually really solid. Yeah, Fighting with My Family. It's got Florence Pugh, and she's got black hair, and she's a goth in that movie. Holy shit. Let's go. Yeah, that's a good one. He is in that. But he's done. This was like his third or fourth movie, because like I said, he was a wrestler, but The Rock was in, I think, you know, his first role was The Mummy Returns as the Scorpion King, and then he did his own Scorpion King. Then you have The Rundown, Walking Tall, and then Doom. So
But it's hilarious. If you look at his IMDb credits, it's absolutely daunting because it says like 583 things total or something.
He's been
it's
in,
ridiculous.
Yeah, like it's like 858.
Oh, 800? Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
If you just go to the IMDb page and don't filter anything, it's 858. He's done 100 like movie titles, but yeah, 858 of just self, producer, writer, archive, like all this shit. Like,
yeah,
good
it's ridiculous.
God, it's insane. So this is Doom, released in 2005 on October 21st of that year. It is rated R for strong violence / gore and language. There's mild sex and nudity, severe violence and gore, severe profanity. According to IMDb, there are 25 fucks, mild alcohol, drugs, and smoking, and moderate frightening fucks and intense scenes. Yeah, it seems it seems like there's way more for a 2-hour movie. But that's what it says. So I don't know. Someone could have miscounted. Runtime of 1 hour and 45 or 1 hour 52, depending on which version you watched. We watched the unrated extended cut. No idea what was unrated or what was extended
I don't either. There was a lot of that. I've seen this movie like 4 times.
Okay.
There's a lot of that movie that I was just like, what the fuck? When did this happen? Yeah. Now, apparently. Now,
yeah. Yeah, I ordered the 4K. It was like $10. I was like, fuck it. Let me just order it because it's probably going to cost me like $4 or $5 to rent it. Whatever. And it said unrated extended. And I'm like, ooh, I will have no idea what the fucking difference is. Listed as an action, horror, sci-fi, directed by fucking Andrzej Bartkowski. I don't even fucking know. Sorry, dude. I cannot pronounce that. He only directed 11 things. He did Romeo Must Die. He was more of a cinematographer. Listen to some of the shit he's done. He did Twins, the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito that we talked about, me and Spencer talked about. Falling Down, Speed, Species, Dante's Peak, and The Devil's Advocate.
Which are arguably, except for maybe Speed, those are all like certified classics.
Yeah. I've never seen Falling Down, but it's...
Oh,
man.
You
got to watch.
It's
been
fucking
on my list for so long, but it's not streaming anywhere. And I've seen a clip from it when he's in the restaurant with the gun.
Yeah.
That's all I've seen. I'm like, I have to see this movie. So I need to watch that at some point. It is written by Dave Callahan, who also wrote The Expendables 1 through 4, Godzilla 2014, Zombieland Double Tap, Mortal Kombat 2021, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So this actually has like... He progressed.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He progressed because the writing in this movie was fucking dog shit. Oh, my God. It was also written by Wesley Strick, who wrote Arachnophobia, Cape Fear, Wolf, and A Nightmare on Elm Street 2010. I'm not surprised with A Nightmare on Elm Street 2010. No offense to you, dude. Composed by Clint Mansell, who also composed Requiem for a Dream, Smokin' Aces, Black Swan, and 38 episodes of Doom Patrol. Then we've got cinematography by Tony Pierce Roberts, who also did the cinematography for The Dark Half, Jungle to Jungle. You remember that Tim Allen vehicle there, and Underworld.
I didn't until just now.
I didn't until I wrote, yeah. Wow, taking me back. I used to watch that movie all the time on VHS. Oh my God.
Oh, you want to know what you want to know what my fucking VHS rocket till it don't what? Play no more? Angels in the Outfield.
Yes! Oh my God! I forgot about that movie! That movie's so good! That is an underrated fucking... I think that was a Disney movie.
Yeah, fucking Christopher Lloyd, Danny Glover.
Oh my God.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, baby Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Oh my God, I have to see what this movie has on Letterboxd. Angels in the Outfield, 1994. Okay, 2.9. Not too shabby. Really?
Well, I mean, it is a... cheesy ass Christian Disney movie.
Yeah. Oh man, I have got to find that and track that down. Thank you for that. Oh my God. Edited by Derek Brechin, who also edited Stargate, The Patriot, Deep Blue Sea, Romeo Must Die, and 13 Ghosts. Starring Dwayne The Rock. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Johnson as Sarge. You may know him, minor celebrity, done some things. Apparently 858 things to be exact. Then we've got Carl Urban as John Grimm. Only done 57 things, but I mean, like, he was in Ghost Ship. He was in Lord of the Rings. He was in the Star Trek reboot. He was in Priest, Dread, Riddick, Thor Ragnarok, and The Boys, and Chronicles of Riddick. He hasn't done much, but he's done quality films here.
He is also not related to Keith Urban.
No, he's not.
Even though they are both from New Zealand.
Is Carl Urban from New Zealand?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Or so is Keith?
Keith Urban. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Huh.
That's hilarious. We've got Rosamund Pike as Samantha Graham, who is also in Gone Girl as Amy Doon, like I mentioned briefly a second ago. Then we have Diobea Opperi as Destroyer, who is in Dread as the Pandemic TJ. Ben Daniels as Goat, who was in 20 episodes of The Exorcist, as Father Marcus Keen. We've got Razak Adoti as Duke, who was also in Resident Evil Apocalypse as Surgeon Peyton Wells, and Richard Brake as Portman, who was also in 31 as Doomhead, which I thought was funny because Doomhead. So, haha.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Estimated budget of, $60 million, only grossing $58 million worldwide. That is a shame. Didn't even make back what you spent. That's got to hurt. It was filmed in Prague in the Czech Republic, so I don't know. I guess
probably for tax reasons.
I was going to say, I know it's cheaper.
Probably because it was going to cost them $60 million.
They're like, we have to shoot somewhere cheaper. You can watch this on Amazon for a $3.99 rental. Movies that came out around the same time, we have Corpse Bride, Into the Blue, Evil Ed, Satan's Little Helper, The Fog Remake, The Legend of Zorro, Saw 2, Wolf Creek, Chicken Little, Jarhead, Pride and Prejudice, and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. That's probably why this movie's fucking, obviously, I mean, honestly, that everyone was seeing Harry Potter. So you put it up against that, it's like,
And everybody was seeing Jarhead. Everybody was seeing Saw 2.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I mean, even Chicken Little, that's a kid's movie.
All the fucking nerds were watching Wes Anderson's Into the Blue.
Into the Blue, Jessica Alba and Paul Walker. Oh, man. Such a good, it was like a surfing movie or whatever.
Oh, wait, no. I'm thinking of Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Not
no.
Into the Blue. Completely wrong movie.
That's why I was like, he directed that? I don't know. I'm fucking whatever. So overall thoughts on the movie. It's definitely something that exists in this universe today. It is definitely a movie. But beyond that, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I was thoroughly enjoying myself to the point where I was like, I'm gonna give this like a 3 or 3.5. And then the third act happened. I'm like, gah, what the fuck? Like, such a good setup. I mean, the writing is cheesy. The acting is cheesy, but I was really, really having fun. And then the complete change, the tonal shift of, you know, Sarge, all of a sudden now he's a, like, going rogue and going to start killing his own team members. And then the the first person shooter, like, thing. I was like, this is cool, but it is aged poorly.
Yeah, it's aged very poorly.
Very poorly. And then, yeah, just the whole Matrix fight scene at the end of the movie. Like, they were jumping all over the place.
Yeah, the whole Mortal Kombat sequence wasn't too great. but see, I never had a super strong connection to the Doom game to begin with.
I played it a lot, but I mean, like,
I played it. I don't ever think, like, I attempted to, like, actually play it. Like, okay. I fiddled around with it.
Okay.
So when this movie came out, I was just like, ah, yeah, cool, all right.
Yeah, and I know that game.
And I just kind of, like, let it happen, and I wasn't, like, in it for any specific type of reason, because it wasn't marketed to me.
Right.
Like, this was not my demographic of movie. I was just like, all right, I like The Rock. I like big shooty guns.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's do this.
But it's one of those movies that, like, I can do nothing but watch it passively. Like, because the moment you focus on any single point of this movie, the entire thing unravels like a 12-thread count blanket. You pull on it and just poof.
And it's done. And it's gone. Yeah, but even though I loved it, like I really did enjoy it. It's just not a good movie. You know what I mean? It's one of those movies where you're like, all right, this is bad. It's not good, but I did enjoy it because it's monsters, and a lot of it was practical. So much more of this movie was actually practical, and I was like, you know what? I commend you. It's probably where the $60 million came in. For actually doing, I thought it was going to be like a CG nightmare. And yes, was there some wonky CG? Sure. But it wasn't the focal point of like, man, this is so poorly done. I was like, man, there's actually like some really cool practical monsters in this. So that was really cool. Like I said, I have a shit ton of likes. Like, I really liked the fact that from the opening credits, how Universal, how the planet was red. And then they zoomed into the planet. I was like, oh, that's cool. They don't usually do shit like that. There was a nice cold open on the Mars base with the whole thing going to shit. The woman's arm gets cut off and ripped through the door. I was like, okay. You've got my attention.
old school video game handheld in a movie about an old school video game.
Yeah, that was
like,
cool.
Cool little details like that.
Cool little nod. I also really liked the first scene The Rock was in because he's shirtless and they zoom in on his back, which says Semper Fi. And I'm like, all right, guys, we get the message. Like, tone it down. The giant guns were great. Like, every gun in this movie was chonky. And, of course, they had the Bioforce gun, BFG. It's big fucking gun.
Yeah, big fucking gun, 5,000. Yeah,
it's big fucking gun. I'm not calling it the Bioforce gun. But yeah, the chonky guns were great. And the all black uniforms. They're like mobbed out and all black. I was like, okay. Like, I love...
It's like half SWAT, half spaceman.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I loved the look of this movie. And even the fucking sets were great. I mean, it was very dark and it just felt gothic and foreboding. And like, it felt like the game. To a certain degree, obviously, and it's so funny, halfway through, I'm like, where the fuck is Duke Nukem? That's a different game. That's a different fucking game.
And see, there was a point where, maybe a little bit past the halfway point, where they start going back and forth.
Yeah.
And I was just like, where the fuck are we right now? Especially the first time he shoots the BFG.
Yeah.
And it just like opens a hole in the bathroom. I'm like, wait, aren't they on Mars?
Yeah.
Can't you like not expose yourself to the fucking nothing out there?
Isn't that bad? Won't that hurt? Yeah. That gun was pretty cool, though, because it just, like, makes this giant hole, and it's, like, it just keeps oozing out all the whatever the fuck it was. The nano walls were cool. I like that. I thought those were fun. I haven't seen something like that before.
And the thing I love most about the nano wall is they just flat out refuse to explain it at all. They're like, we have this technology. Fuck you. We're not going to.
Fuck yeah.
Like, no. nothing about, like, except for, like, once the thing gets caught in the door when Duke goes, and that's why I don't do nano walls. Like, really? Like, that's why.
That's why.
Like, there's got to be a fear. You know what the information actually does. Give it to me.
I need to know. Yeah, and that brings me to the dialogue, because it was a bit wonky, but there was, like, some decently funny moments where someone would, like, roast someone else, and I was like, all right, that's
or
not bad.
Or The Rock just being an only one-liner machine. Like, that's all. He only spoke in one-liners. Which,
I know.
By the way, I'm going into my favorite line now, because...
Just do it, yeah. Do it to it.
His condition is irreversible, because his condition is he's dead. Dead.
That was mine too. Oh, he just looked like he was in pain the whole movie. I'm like, bro, are you good? Like, are you constipated? Do you need to let out a shit or something? He looks so uncomfortable in this. I'm like, I've seen you much better. I mean, even the movies before this, Walking Tall and The Rundown, like, I thought he was good in those. He just felt so wooden in this movie. I was like, bro. It's okay. Like, you're good. And the longer the movie went on, the crazier his like performance got to me.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
just like, oh my God, are you good?
I honestly think, because like, if you compare Walking Tall to this, and it's like only a year apart in release.
It's a year.
He drops like 80 pounds in size from his like muscle.
Yeah.
I think he was just like fucking pissed and not eating. So he didn't look just completely outclassing all the other people that were on set with him.
Yeah. It's funny. But yeah, he's just weird in this movie. Looks great.
Carl Urban had to look like he could actually face him.
You're right. Yeah. Because Carl Urban's not like a big dude by any means. He's a pretty average sized guy. But yeah, if you had like hulked out Rock in there, it would be because they do go at it at the end. That whole fucking fight scene. And when he jumped like 20 feet in the air, I was like, where was this the whole movie?
And then swings the pipe down.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? And then he starts swinging him around too. I'm like, what is happening? This was such a weird choice to do. Yeah, and I mean,
with the stupid ass lore dump that they give you, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah,
it's just stupid.
Wait, what was the stupid lore dump?
So the stupid lore dump is the whole reason they're out there is they're collecting chromosome 24 to make either superhumans or bioweapons.
Which is
speaking of which, Resident Evil came out 2 years before this, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 2003 or 2004.
Some of those monsters were just straight up Resident Evil ripoffs.
2002. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, I was getting so much Resident Evil energy, and I didn't realize, like, how much of that vibe it had, except it didn't have Michelle Rodriguez, so it was worse.
That's right. She is in that one. I forgot about that. Let's see here.
She's the best part of that movie.
Yeah, I do like a Michelle Rodriguez performance. I'm not going to lie. Dislikes. There was some fuck awful CG, but again, not as much as I was expecting. I did not like Richard Brake in this movie. He was a fucking pervert and a fucking weirdo. He was so different than he's normally. I'm like, I don't like you. You're a fucking weirdo.
I will say there was, and especially for like 2005, like, there was some points where I was like, ooh, some of this dialogue is, like, kind of offensive.
Yeah, it was during that period of kind of... I was like,
this is not the 90s. This is, like, well into the aughts. Like,
the aughts.
Not acceptable anymore.
Yeah, can't do that, guys. I definitely wanted more BFG. He picked it up, and I'm like, he's going to use this the rest of the movie. No, it shows up, like, two times in the movie. You get two or three shots from it, and I'm like, that's it, man. Probably for the budget, but whatever. And then the Matrix fight scene at the end was laughable at best. But the revenge that Carl Urban gets on The Rock was such sweet justice. He throws him through the portal, and I'm like, okay, he's just on Earth now, or on Mars. And then he throws the grenade through. I was like, oh, shit.
So it's so funny you mentioned that. So we're watching the whole fight scene, and we pause the movie, and Jessica goes, you know, this is my best friend's favorite movie. And I've watched it so many times with her, and for some reason, we're so close to the end, and I just remember there have already been a big explosion, and then literally we unpause, and he throws the grenade through, and she goes, oh, there it is.
There it is. Knew it was coming. That's fucking great. My hot take on this movie is it's not as bad as everyone says it is. Everyone shits all over this movie. And yes, it is a bad movie. Sure, I expected to just loathe this movie. Like, it's a likable movie. It's just not very well executed. So, like, cut it some slack. Also, apparently it was terrible homage to the game. I don't remember. I played
It has absolutely no, except it takes place on Mars.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the original game.
So I, like I said, I played it probably 20 years ago. I played it on an old PC. I loved playing the game, but I couldn't recall one thing from that except for the on map or on screen things with like his face, and the more you got hurt, the more he started to bleed, and you had like a percentage meter and stuff like that. That's pretty much it. So that's my hot take. Did you have a hot take with this movie?
My hot take is this movie wanted incest to work so bad.
Oh yeah, the weird relationship with Carl Urban and Rosamund Pike. I was like, what in the fuck?
Yeah, no, that was Alien Covenant levels of weird. Michael Fassbender on Michael Fassbender action.
Some hot man-on-man action. That was interesting. Yeah, it was very weird. I think one of my reviews actually mentions that. So I did actually have a point where I was hooked because it was so fucking ridiculous and wacky. It was the scene when Destroyer fights the Beast and motherfucker threw a hammer, like hammer through a computer. He swings it around. And I was like, all right, that was fucking really cool. I'm into this movie now. So just because of the sheer ridiculousness of that scene, I was like, all right, I'm in. Also, the sewer scene was pretty cool, too, when they were down in the sewers and all the monsters were popping out. That was pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I was going to say the point that hooked me was actually the sewer gag where he just falls through the hole.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's all right. Funny. I appreciate that.
This is the first time this year that I've actually had a point that lost me. They were like, they like yada yadded through the virus and how it chose to infect people. I was like, that's fucking stupid. I was like, oh, see how this, like, it like dripped someone's blood on the tongue. And it like, I was like, this is the dumbest. Like, we didn't need this.
Brain fluid, yeah, predisposition to psychopathy.
Also, is it an extra chromosome? Does that not give you Down syndrome? Because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it does. So I felt like it was kind of weird that they were like, we're going to give an extra chromosome.
No.
I'm like,
well, no. So it's the missing genome 24th chromosome. It's the chromosome that may, like, if we are what we are and, like, the mythical Atlanteans are what the Atlanteans are, like, that would be the 24th chromosome, like, Super Saiyan shit.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a weird... Okay. I was mistaken then. My horror moment is when Duke got pulled... Like, he just got pulled through a grate and, like, ripped to shreds, and I was like, ooh, that was pretty fun. Did you have a horror moment?
My horror moment was... with, I think it was Kid in the bathroom, where they're like talking and the just arm comes down and just lifts him into the ceiling.
Oh, no, that was Richard Brake's character, Portman.
Oh, Portman, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, the giant, like, I'm pretty sure practical hand, if I'm not mistaken.
It looked very practical.
It looked very convincing. And then that's when Sarge comes in and blows a hole in the fucking ceiling.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, aren't we on Mars?
Yeah, can we not do this? My favorite kill, it's going to sound kind of fucked up, but it was the Kid, because it was just so cold-blooded and out of nowhere how Sarge was just like, bam! I'm like, oh, shit!
Yeah, that's my favorite kill,
okay,
too.
I was like, you just killed one of your own. What happened to fucking Semper Fi, man? Goddamn. Favorite character, Carl Urban, Jonathan Grimm. I mean, he's always going to be my favorite character, no matter who's in the movie. He's just fucking awesome. Did you have one?
Kid. Because, yeah. He's just out there, like, trying his fucking best.
First mission ever. Gets fucking shit on.
He also reminds me of the fucking kid from The Matrix.
Oh, Mouse.
Mouse.
Yeah, Mouse.
Yes.
Lee's favorite character was Portman. Super pervy. Kind of a weirdo. Not a fan of him. He's trying to, like, always grope women and try to get them to have sex with him. He's a very weird guy. Lee's favorite character?
Same.
Yeah. You already said your favorite line, and which was the same as mine. Performances, we kind of mentioned, pretty wooden, honestly, for the most part.
Yeah, it's...
Rosamund Pike was great. Like, she was probably the strongest act. Really?
Even her.
Okay, great for the movie.
Yeah, so, but, like, overall, so massively melodramatic.
Yeah.
Like, screaming at everything. Like, the monster's stuck in the door. It can't get you. Stop screaming.
Just, yeah, it's fine. Just relax. Yeah. So, Rock wasn't too bad, but like in the beginning, but then he just started falling off, and then he just looked very uncomfortable.
He needed a Snickers.
You're not yourself, man. Have a Snickers. Cinematography, there was some choppy slow-mo that the second it happened, I was like, ooh, this is the mid-2000s. I was like, that is like... Exactly. You can date a movie just by that choppy, slow motion. It's not fluid at all. It's like, I don't understand what that choice was, but that's what they did in the early 2000s to mid 2000s. But there was some pretty cool shots, I will say. Like, there was some decent shots, but like overall as a whole,
yeah,
it exists.
It's a movie that was filmed.
Yeah, it was a movie that they definitely filmed. The score was actually pretty sick. And
when there was score.
I wanted so much more score. I was like, when you are doing the score, and then the ending credits were done by, you know, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, which is fucking sick. I was like, I needed more of that because, like, it was very fucking metal, and I loved it. But I just wanted more. So, favorite moments here. Like I said, the cold open was good. I fucking loved the half wheelchair, half human, like bionic fucking
Pinky.
Centaur. Yeah, he's fucking cool as shit.
Pinky's the best monster.
Yeah, and then he's the coolest monster at the end. Very CG and fucking awful looking. But yeah, he turns into a monster in the chair. And I'm like, this is so fucking cool.
Especially because he's kind of a shit ass character.
He is. He's not that great. But yeah, I loved his look. Dr. Carmack ripping off his own ear was pretty sick. The sewer scene and then the destroyer fight scene were just some of the greatest moments of this movie. I didn't read the IMDb summary. Ha! Space Marines are sent to investigate strange events at a research facility on Mars, but find themselves at the mercy of genetically enhanced killing machines. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention or say? I know you didn't have too much like headcanon like you normally do, but
yeah, no,
it's understandable.
My advice for this movie is like, just give it a break.
Just give it a break.
It's
mindless fun.
Yeah, it's not out here to wow you.
No,
it's not insightful. It has no message. As I like to say, it is empty calorie watching.
Yeah.
Like it'll fill you up, but not with substance.
Beautifully told. I like it. Yeah, like I said, it's just good mindless fun. It's not here to really do anything, just to be a good time. Like it's just wacky nonsense. And if you just turn your brain off, you can really enjoy it. That's what I did. I was like, I'm going into this knowing it's not great. And I had a lot of fun with it. So post-review stuff here. Two taglines. No one gets out alive and hell breaks loose. I was like, those aren't really that great, honestly.
And hell breaks loose is like super misleading.
Super misleading. Trivia. The first person shooter. FPS. God, I kept thinking FOV, but that's field of view. That is not what I was trying to say. FPS. That's what I was trying to say this whole time. Took about 14 days to shoot, which is crazy.
Especially since like most of it was CG.
I was gonna say most of it was not. Yeah, two working and vibrating BFGs were created for the film. Both were kept by Dwayne Johnson. Kind of rude. You could have given one away.
Yeah, dick. and not to be super political or anything, but fucking sell those things off for Hawaii. Don't ask us to donate.
I would buy that
shit. Fucking The Rock.
I'd pay all the money in the world to have a BFG just plop it right here in the middle of the podcast table. Wouldn't be able to see you.
Yeah, that'd be fucking hilarious. I think it's bigger than the table, to be honest.
The beating heart in the jar and the beeping accompanying it is reminiscent of the logo used by ID Software, the developer of Doom video games, shown at the beginning of many of their games. Rosamund Pike turned down the role of Rita Skeeter in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire to work on this movie and Pride and Prejudice. But I thought that was funny. I was like, wow, you turned down being in Harry Potter for this. Luckily, you did. It wasn't just this. In Pride and Prejudice, you were also in. But man, this is probably my favorite bit of trivia. Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright were asked to polish the dialogue, but turned it down. Can you imagine that? Like, no, we don't want to.
So I could with Simon Pegg, I could not with Edgar Wright. Because at least with Simon Pegg, it would have just been a little bit more off the hip, quippy.
Yeah.
But like with Edgar Wright, there would have been way more just completely unnecessary subtext.
That's true.
For what was going on.
We didn't need all that. The character of Sarge is an homage to Master Sergeant Thomas Kelly, one of the characters from video game Doom 3 in 2004. Rated 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 2.0 out of 5 on Letterboxd, has an 18% on the tomato meter and a 34% audience score. I gave this a pretty gracious 2.5 because there was a lot that I really liked, but then the third act was just terrible. So 2.5 for me.
I gave it a 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So not really a flop and not a slap. Definitely not a slap. It's a slap in the way of what we said before. It's just my good mindless fun. Similar movies according to Letterboxd, we have Resident Evil, Aliens, Alone in the Dark, AVP, and Resident Evil Apocalypse. Similar movies according to IMDb, we have The Scorpion King, Priest, Legion, G.I. Joe, Retaliation, and Doom Annihilation. Yes, there is a sequel to this movie, which I've heard is worse, which doesn't surprise me. Did you get any funny reviews?
I completely forgot, to be honest.
You're fine. I'll read the four that I have and we'll get out of here. All right, so I've got four, like I said. Let's see. Let's start with Oh yeah, it was whoever made Rosamund Pike and Carl Urban brothers and sisters should be fired. And I was like, yeah, I fucking agree with that.
Yep.
Let's see here. Next we have two stars from Nicholas Farron. Doesn't quite reach guilty pleasure status because I literally couldn't see anything because it's so dark. Still better than the abomination that is known as Assilation. Apparently, Annihilation is that bad. One star from William Myers. Bioforce gun, my ass. It's big fucking gun, goddammit. Grade, D-. And then last but not least, we have 4.5 stars from Will Farquad. Dwayne, your greatest role. Congratulations. Doom is superior to all of you. You are beneath Doom. Doom is fun. One of the best crafted action sequences in film. Doom is evolutionary. Buddy, what? Did we watch the same movie?
I mean, arguably, without Doom, the movie, we might not have gotten that weirdo hardcore Henry movie.
That's true. That's a weird one, but that's a lot of fun. Oh, sorry. The two-star for whoever cast Carl Urban and Rosamund Pike, that was done by Zara Gwen. So follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Slasher app at Frightmares Podcast. You can also reach us at stayspookyatoutlook.com. We're also on Redbubble. You can go to redbubble.com/FrightmaresPod to get you some Frightmares swag, coffee cups, fucking mouse pads, whatever your heart desires. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at Dr. Proctor. You are...
Frightmares Corey.
Booyah. Next week, me and a familiar guest from back in the day, Chris Bishop, are going to be tackling Cloverfield. So until then, stay tuned and...
stay spooky.